Now, this morning, we're going to be continuing with our study in Acts concerning Acts 2 and 42. And Rajon actually started this study a couple of weeks ago. And we're looking just at this one verse that they continued, that is, the believers, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. Now, we're doing this one a little differently because we're reversing an order. So at Bethel Bible Chapel, we are going to read the verse this way. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in the breaking of bread and in fellowship and in prayers, because that's the order that we're going to look at, Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. And next Sunday, Andrew Sarlo will be covering the fellowship part of the verse. But this morning, what I would like to do is to talk a little bit about the breaking of bread. And then after we have finished talking about the breaking of bread, then we're actually going to break bread so that everyone gets the opportunity and the privilege, because it is a privilege, to do what the Lord Jesus commanded us to do. And when he said, this do in remembrance of me. So hopefully it will all work out, and we're looking forward to this. And I was thinking the last time that I actually spoke here at Bethel, I was looking at the book of Jude, and Jude was writing to those who are called, sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ. And we spent a little time talking about the fact that God calls us to do different things. And so this morning we're actually looking at one of the things that God calls us to do, and that is he calls us to remember. So it's the call of remembrance that we're actually going to be looking at. If you go to the Old Testament, there were many times that God encouraged his people to remember. One of the verses that I was taught as a child that I've never forgotten comes from Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 1. And it says, remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. I remember that verse. An encouragement to young people to remember their Creator. And I would say that this morning we want to encourage young and old to remember the sacrifice that the Lord Jesus made and to carry out his command. So what I would like to do is, as we take a look at the call to remembrance, which is the breaking of bread, I want to try and answer some questions that sometimes we're asked as leaders in the church, as elders. People will ask us questions. And so I want to just quickly go through and talk about answers to these questions. And the first question is, why is it that breaking of bread is so important at Bethel? I mean, we emphasize it. We make a big deal of it. So, whoa, almost had some water on me. So people will ask the question, well, why? And then why the bread and the wine? Like, what's the significance of using bread and wine? Is there something else we could use? Something more convenient? Like, why do we use bread and wine? Why do we refer to the service as the breaking of bread? Is that the only way it's ever referred to as? How about, why do we do it every Sunday? Because every Sunday morning, we gather here and we break bread and remember the Lord Jesus. Why is it that we do it every Sunday? Is there any tradition associated with the breaking of bread? I want to talk about that one. And then I want to look at the apostles' doctrine with respect to the breaking of bread. And then we will break bread together and sing a hymn and go home. The reason we're going to do it that way is because I remember many years ago studying Latin, and the only thing I remember from studying Latin is I had to translate a letter written from a Roman centurion back to Rome that was describing the Christians. And this is how he described them. They went down by the river, they would break bread, sing a hymn, and go home. And so that's what we're going to do at the end of this service. So let's just quickly go through these questions and look at answers. And so the first question then is, why is it that the breaking of bread is so important at Bethel? Well, I'm just going to give you a couple of quick reasons. One reason is because the breaking of bread is something that was introduced by the Lord Jesus himself. He was the first one that broke bread. And so he introduced it. When I was younger, they used to use a fancy word for that. They said he instituted the supper, which means he introduced it. And then the second reason why we put so much emphasis on the breaking of bread, a second reason, is because we don't look at it as a request. We actually look at it as being a command of the Lord. And so, of course, if the Lord says to us to do something, then it's important for you and I to obey that command. If we're going to acknowledge him as Lord, then if he says do this, then that's what we should do. And so that's why it's so important. Now, I thought we should really go to one of the Gospels and see where the breaking of bread was introduced. You can actually read about it in three of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Also, you find it in the teachings of Paul. So something that's mentioned that much in Scripture has to be something that's important, because if something's mentioned once in Scripture, it's important. But this breaking of bread and remembering the Lord Jesus is mentioned over and over again in the New Testament. So let's just read these verses together. And it says, and as they were eating, Jesus took bread. They're in the upper room, I might add. So Jesus took bread, he blessed it and broke it and gave to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. Then he took the cup, and he gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of this fruit of the vine from now until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. So this is one of the accounts written by Matthew of the introduction of the breaking of bread. And if I was going to give you some homework, I would say what would be some good homework for you to do is for you to go to Mark's Gospel, chapter 24, or 14, that is, and Luke's Gospel, chapter 22, and you can read for yourself the other accounts of the gospel writers concerning the breaking of bread. And you will find other details. Details that Matthew doesn't give us, that Mark and Luke give us, that are very interesting. And so that's why we think it is so important, is because the Lord commanded us to do it, and he was the one that introduced it. And so we said, well, what's better than that? And so we will carry out the command of the Lord Jesus. And our prayer for Bethel Bible Chapel is that it will continue until doing that, until the Lord comes. Now, the second question, how about the bread and the wine? Why do we use bread and wine? Well, a simple answer would be, look at Matthew chapter 26. That's what the Lord used. So if the Lord used them, why don't we use them? We'll just do the same thing, and that's exactly what's happening. But there's a reason. Now, I've got a question for you. I'm going to show you the next slide, and here's the question. What is it that these four pictures that I'm going to put up, what is it that they have in common? Oh, do one more. There it is. What do those four pictures have in common? Frames. Very good, but not today. Well, do I have to tell you? Oh, you're getting better. Covenants. Oh, excellent. In fact, they're all symbols of a covenant. They're symbols, that's all. The first one there with the rainbow in it, which, by the way, was taken on the Isle of Skye, just in case you're wondering when we were there. So that rainbow was the symbol that God gave to Noah. And when Noah would go outside and it was raining and the sun was shining at the same time, and he would see that beautiful rainbow in the sky, then Noah would remember that God had promised to never, ever destroy the world by a flood again. And I don't know about you, but every time I see a rainbow, that automatically comes to my mind. It's the sign that God gave to Noah. Now, the next one beside it there with the footprint in it, that's sand. That's actually from the Caribbean. But that's nice, white, beautiful sand. And then the next picture there is the night, stars. And those were two symbols that were given when God made a covenant with Abraham. And he told Abraham, he said, you're going to have a lot of children. In fact, your children will be like the sand. And he also said, your children will be like the stars. So if you want to see a symbol, Abraham, you just go for a walk on the beach and take a look at the sand. Or else you go out at night and take a look at the stars. And so every time, I'm sure with good old Abraham, every time he would look at the stars, he would think of that promise. And every time he'd see the sand, he would think of the promise. He would think of the covenant, the promise that God made. And so just as those three pictures represent symbols of covenants that God made with man, so the bread and the wine are symbols of the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus. That blood that was shed so that you and I could have our sins forgiven. The body that was broken as a sacrifice when the Lord Jesus paid the supreme price for sin, when he gave us all, then when we look at those symbols, the bread and the wine, then they remind us of that sacrifice that he made. And so every time when we come here on a Sunday morning to break bread, the table will be set up similar to this. And we look up at the table, and as soon as you look at that table and you see them sitting there, the bread and the wine, then they're reminders of the reason why we're there. They're symbols of the blood and the body of the Lord Jesus. Now, the next question is this service that we hold always referred to as the breaking of bread? And the answer is no. And I got a little information here for you. Some of this, and whether it's, well, I guess it's large enough to see. Some of it comes from Wikipedia. I never knew it before. But here at Bethel Bible Chapel, and you might be able to think of some others, but you will hear people referring to the breaking of bread, and they'll call it the Lord's Supper. Well, that makes sense because he was the one that introduced it. And other times you'll hear it referred to as communion or the communion service. Communion means sharing. So that makes sense. Because we're sharing when we come together. We share our thoughts and our hearts concerning the Lord Jesus. And we tell each other in one way or another how we appreciate the Lord Jesus. And then sometimes we refer to it as the worship service. Because what happens at the breaking of bread, as you consider the sacrifice that the Lord Jesus made for sin, And as you sing the hymns together and you hear what people have to say concerning the Lord Jesus, then what it does is it causes your heart to go out and worship. And he is the only one who is worthy of worship. And so those are the three main ones that come to my mind. Now, if you were part of the a Catholic church, then they would refer to it as Holy Communion or the Eucharist. And then it's interesting that if you were Eastern Orthodox, then they call it the Mystical Supper. I never knew that one before. And then if you're part of the Russian Orthodox, then they call it the Secret Supper. Interesting, isn't it? And so it's not just called the breaking of bread. There's other names for it. But here at Bethel, we like to refer to it as the Lord's Supper or the communion service or the worship service. And perhaps there's others that didn't come to my mind. So the name we call it isn't all that important. The important thing is that we do it, that we remember the Lord, because he said, "This do in remembrance of me." Now, the next question I had was, why is it done every Sunday? Because there are believers and other churches, and they don't break bread every Sunday. Some churches, they do it once a month. Others might do it even less than that. Then why is it that at Bethel we do it every Sunday? Well, the reason we do it every Sunday is because we think that's the pattern that you see in the book of Acts. It's not a command. It's not that you have to do it every Sunday, but it is a pattern. And so looking at that pattern, then it was decided that every Sunday we would break bread. And that decision was made way back when Bethel started, because they've been breaking bread. Now, those who have been here, I guess Joey could tell us whether I'm right or wrong, but I think they've broken bread every Sunday since they started, unless they had to not do it because of some big storm or something. And so they're following a pattern that they see in Scripture. And here's a couple of verses that are used for that pattern. In Acts chapter 20, it says, "Now on the first day of the week," so there's why we choose Sunday, "when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight." Now, I don't think I'll go quite that late, but Paul did. And unfortunately, there was a guy sitting on a windowsill, and he fell out and killed himself. But Paul went down and he was raised back to life. But anyway, you can see it's the first day of the week. And so people have looked at that and said, well, first day of the week, it's Resurrection Day. And so they've chosen, made that choice to follow that pattern. And then if you go to the Apostles' Doctrine, to what the Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 16, he says, "On the first day of the week," so there you have it again, "let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come." And so Paul is saying, look, when you gather together on the first day of the week, then what I would suggest you do is that you take what you're going to give to the Lord, you get ready, and that you make your donation, or whatever you want to call it, at that time. And so you'll find it interesting that when still here at Bethel Bible Chapel, when we hold the first service, after we've broken bread and had of the cup, then the collection plate comes around. And so you can see how that pattern goes back to what Paul was saying. But it's just a pattern that we follow. Everyone doesn't follow the same pattern. And so we can't look at somebody else and say, well, they're wrong and we're right. We just have to say, we have a pattern and this is what we follow. And so that's why we do it every Sunday. And now the next question was, what about traditions? Are there traditions associated with the breaking of bread service or the worship service? And the answer is yes. We have traditions. Now, are traditions a bad thing? Sometimes yes, sometimes no. There's good traditions, and I believe that we have good traditions that we follow. You know, I kind of appreciate a lot of traditions. I was, as most of you likely know, I just got home from Scotland. And while we were there, we got to go to the military tattoo and listen to the music and the program. And at the end of it, like, I couldn't believe it. But at the end of it, all of a sudden, with this field full of beautiful bagpipes, they started to play Auld Lang Syne. And I watched the crowd around that place where they were playing it. And all of a sudden, all of the people, or a lot of the people, they crossed their arms like this. And they joined hands. And I thought, well, that's not just a Nicholson tradition. That's a Scottish tradition. I loved it. You know, I'm not sure, and I can't prove this in Scripture, but I think they'll have bagpipes in heaven. But that's an aside. And I remember doing that. We used to, every year, we'd have a Nicholson reunion. And at the end of the time, we would all stand in a big circle, cross our arms, and none of us could sing very good. But, you know, we'd start out, "Last old acquaintance be." And every year. And it's a great tradition. And so it is with the breaking of bread. We have traditions. The way the service is carried out. The way we do it here at Bethel is close to, but not exactly the same as what I remember as a boy. When I was a boy, when we went to break bread, you had to sit in a circle. They always sat in a circle. We don't sit in a circle. Does that mean they're right and we're wrong? No, it's just a different tradition. Right? A circle wouldn't work here. We don't have a big enough room. You know, and then I remember as a boy, too, when you'd go to the worship service or the breaking of bread, and they had a pattern that they followed. They'd start by giving out a hymn. Here, we start by having somebody come up to the front and read the scripture and give us some thoughts from it. They started by singing a hymn, two different traditions. And then somebody would pray, and they'd sing a hymn, and they'd pray, and they'd sing a hymn, and they'd pray. You would never have two hymns in a row. And once in a while, you'd have two prayers in a row. But that was the tradition. And there's nothing wrong with it, but you come to Bethel, you're not going to see the same thing. You're going to find that we sing quite a bit more than I was used to as a boy. We do lots of singing. Something wrong with it? No. It's just the way it's done. And so when it comes to the breaking of bread, there's a command involved. The Lord Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me." There is a pattern involved. And that's why we do it every Sunday. And then there's traditions involved. But there's nothing wrong with them. It's just the way it's done. And then the next thing I want to look at is the apostles' doctrine. It's interesting that Paul, when he's writing to Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, he gives them instruction concerning the breaking of bread. Now, one thing, and I love this, is 1 Corinthians was written before, according to the theologians, and Nicholas, you can correct me if I'm wrong here, but they say 1 Corinthians was written before Matthew, Mark, or Luke, or John. That's interesting, isn't it? Because Paul knew exactly what had taken place, but the Gospels had never been read, or written, I mean. That's because the Lord himself had revealed to Paul what it was that had taken place in the upper room scene. Like, I just love that. And so he's writing to them and he says, "I received from the Lord." It's not that I received from Peter or I received from James. I received from the Lord that which I delivered to you. That the Lord Jesus, on the same night that he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "The cup is the new covenant and my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he come. When it comes to the breaking of bread is for believers. They're remembering somebody who died for them. They're remembering the sacrifice. They're remembering the price that was paid. And so the breaking of bread is for believers. And so what we would usually say is, if you're not a believer, then when we break bread, then we would just ask you to pass it by because it's for believers. But I also want to add this. When we gather together to break bread, whether you're a believer or a non-believer, you're welcome. Do you know that I've heard of more cases than one of people who came to a worship service or a breaking of bread service, and they walked in a non-believer, and they walked out a believer? No better way to proclaim the gospel. Really, if you stop and think of it, the breaking of bread is a strong proclamation of the gospel. Because when we break bread, we're saying Christ died for our sins. And he was buried. And he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. We're proclaiming the gospel. We're proclaiming his death until he comes. You see, this service here, if you don't break bread on earth, you will never break bread. Because it's something that's given to us here on earth to remember the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus. It's only until he come. But then once we're in eternity, once we're in heaven, we'll no longer need the bread and the wine. Because we'll have the Lord himself. It will be Jesus himself. And so we won't need symbols to remember, we'll have the real thing. And so it's only until he come. And you know, when it comes to the breaking of bread as well, you know, when we come together, sometimes we look back. And we look back at the sacrifice. Often that's what we do. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. We want to remember him. We want to remember the price that was paid. We want to remember the sacrifice. Because our salvation has a past to it. We can remember the time when, as sinners, we came to the Lord Jesus and we accepted him as Savior and we had our sins forgiven. And so we look back to the cross. But you know what? When we remember the Lord Jesus, sometimes we look at the present and we think of what he's doing for us now. We have one mediator between God and man. We have one who is in the presence of God, and he's our mediator, and he's the one who takes up our case with the Father. And so sometimes we remember his present work. We remember his past work. But then also it takes us to the future. It points us to that day when the one who died on the cross, the one who laid down his life in order that we might have salvation, it takes us to that day when Jesus will come again. And so, my friend, if you have never broken bread and you're a believer in the Lord Jesus, the only thing I can say is, what are you waiting for? Well, you're not going to have to wait much longer because we're going to do it now. We're going to break bread. But just before we do, I have there's one other thing, too, that I want to mention. I just have to do it briefly because we have to move on, but there's also instruction here about preparation for breaking bread. And so those of us who gather together to break bread, there's a preparation that's involved. It says that we should examine ourselves and make sure that we have no sin in ourselves. Because if we break bread and we're harboring sin, then it says that for that reason there are many weak and sickly among you, and And so we need to examine ourselves. But it doesn't say examine yourself and then don't eat, don't break bread. It says examine yourself and then break bread. And so that's important as well. But now here's my last slide before we break bread. I have to, whoops, went the wrong way. Break this one. There it is. That's one of my relatives. Isn't he a pleasant looking fellow? But you know what? The only reason I put that up there, besides I thought he's funny, the only reason I put it up is, you see how it says remember and look ahead? That's the slogan of the Nicholson clan. I couldn't believe it. When I saw that, when I was over there, and I thought, and I have to speak about the breaking of bread. Because isn't that what it's all about? When it comes to the breaking of bread, we remember, so we look back. But then also, as we remember, we look ahead. And believe me, for the Christian, we have a bright future. And we're looking forward to that day when we'll no longer need these emblems, but we will have the Lord Himself. So what we would like to do now then is we're going to actually break bread. And so I have a number of younger men who are going to come up, and Andrew Sarlo. But they're going to come up, and they're going to serve the emblems. And hopefully we have enough of everything that we can do this with this size of a crowd. If you already broke bread this morning, then we'll leave the decision up to you. If you want to do it again, that's fine, because it's as oft as you do it, okay? And if not, you can pass it by. If you're a non-believer, just please just pass it by. But for all of those of you who are a believer, then this is what we're going to do, and we would invite you to do it again next Sunday at the first service, because every Sunday morning at 9:30, we gather together to do exactly this. So we're